This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Grant and Danny welcoming you back on The Fan. We welcome in our audience in Richmond for the first time today. AM 910, FM 105.1. Thanks to everybody else who's been locked in on 106.7 The Fan all over the DMV. The Commanders are looking to draft their generational quarterback soon. Don't forget to think about your next generation. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Murad, can guide you and your family in the right direction by helping you draft your will, set up a revocable trust, or create a health care power of attorney. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys at kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. You will get a discount if you mention G&D. Again, it's kmlawyers.com. More on the draft and four different quarterbacks coming in to meet with the Commanders in the couple of days ahead. That's in just a few minutes. But right now, there is one massive game in D.C. sports tonight with playoff ramifications. The Washington Capitals, in the 82nd and final game of their season that has spanned a half year now, 60 minutes of hockey will determine whether or not they are headed to the playoffs or they'll need help from Pittsburgh, potentially, to get in. Tarik El-Bashir joins us now, Monumental Sports and Turner Sports, where nationally he works the sideline on a lot of Turner's hockey broadcasts. Tarik, what a season this has been. What a wild ride, man. It started in the fall. A lot of people felt like the Capitals could make the playoffs, possibly, but that would have meant Backstrom and Kuznetsov had huge seasons. Those guys are long gone. They traded a bunch of veterans, and they can still make the playoffs tonight.
You're right, Grant. I mean, what a roller coaster. And you didn't even talk about the Alex Ovechkin experience, right? Going from 8 goals in his first 43 games to, you know, another 30-goal season. Charlie Lindgren, you know, emerging from the shadows as a, you know, afterthought backup goaltender to one of the best goalies in the NHL. I mean, easily the Capitals MVP this season. And John Carlson skating more minutes than he ever has in his career at age 34. Just so many things that you just wouldn't have expected back in training camp have unfolded. And like I said, just what a roller coaster. And hopefully it doesn't come to an end tonight in Philadelphia.
How did they rally back? I mean, after that really, really good stretch that got them into this position, Tarik, where they only had 2 points out of a possible 12 over the course of 6 games, including a couple gross, bad losses where you go, okay, here's the regression. This was fun, but they've fallen back down to earth. How did they kind of rally again? Because that's what it seems to. Every time their back's been against the wall with a bad stretch, they've found a way to punch above their weight class, and here they are with this opportunity.
Yeah, I think a number of things have gone into that. I mean, some of it is the veteran guys that won a Stanley Cup here in 2018 just putting the team on their shoulders. I mean, Alex Ovechkin has been the best version of himself since that 0-4-2 rut. John Carlson has stepped up even more than he has all season long. I mean, he's been one of the best defensemen in the league from the start of the year. But, you know, with Rasmus Sandin out and Nick Jensen now out, Carlson plays essentially half the game. And he's not only playing half the game, he's scoring game-winning goals. You know, TJ Oshie has come back from the dead and is doing his thing. I mean, it's some of that. But, you know, for me, guys, in hockey, especially this time of year, goaltending plays such a massive role in determining outcomes. And when you've got a hot goalie, you've got a chance, regardless of what the rest of your lineup looks like, who's in, who's out, where you might have holes. If you've got someone between the pipes that can keep the puck out of the net and frustrate the other team, you got a chance. And Lindgren, for my money, has been one of the most clutch goaltenders in the league all season long. You just look at his analytics. I mean, you know, his save percentage, slot save percentage, steals. He's just doing it all for the Capitals right now, and they wouldn't be anywhere near the position they are in if he was not so brilliant.
Tarik El-Bashir covers the Caps in the NHL, joining us on Grant and Danny, ahead of an elimination and a play-in game in a lot of ways for Washington this evening. If they win, they are in. Tarik, on Lindgren, this might be his toughest act yet, though. Two games in about 27-ish hours for Charlie Lindgren, back-to-back, which is unheard of in today's NHL, and on the heels of 25 out of 28 against a rested Flyers team that hasn't played in going on 3 days now. This would be the perfect exclamation point, wouldn't it?
You know, Creighton, you and I were joking about this on Monumental's altcast last night. I said I hope that they just plugged an IV right into his arm, carried him to the team bus, and then once the bus got to the plane, they carried him onto the plane and just, you know, kept him off his feet. You're right. I mean, it's hard. He's not only playing back-to-back games, which modern analytics tell you is not a good idea, but the Caps really don't have any other options right now. He's also had a massive, heavy workload over the past 2 months. So you just hope that they haven't pushed him to the breaking point. I don't think they have. There were times, you know, I would say in the last month where he looked tired to me. The last couple of games, he's looked fresh. He's looked fine. He's looked good. He's looked sharp. And I don't think he was overtaxed last night by any stretch of the imagination by Boston. You know, they held the Bruins to the season-low shots on goal, and, you know, a lot of those shots were easy saves from the outside. So hopefully Charlie was getting a little bit of a rest last night, because he's going to need it tonight in Philadelphia, like you said, against a rested Flyers team that's equally as hungry to get into the playoffs.
Tarik El-Bashir with us here on G&D. We're talking about Charlie Lindgren. I think this is an underrated story. I mean, he was an afterthought. The plan was, you know, $5-plus million cap hit Darcy Kuemper, who was still the plan, right, I guess, for another several seasons, Tarik. But Lindgren outplayed him, and that was consistent, and then it became you have to have Charlie Lindgren in goal. Obviously, where did this come from? How did we get here? What steps has he taken to all of a sudden become this this lights-out MVP, frankly, for this team?
You know, other than, Danny, just there are stories in sports where guys, it just clicks later in their careers than it does for others. I feel like Charlie has had some opportunities at times in his career, and he wasn't able to capitalize on them, and those turned into setbacks for him. And sometimes it's also timing, right? It's being at your best in front of the right people in the right games at the right moment in the season, and that catapults someone who was undrafted like himself into a starter's role. And for one reason or another, it didn't happen. 2 years ago, he had an outstanding, a very small sample size, but an outstanding sample size when he was a backup in the St. Louis system. The Capitals pro scouts, who do an outstanding job of finding gems in the rough, they've done it time and again. They identified him as maybe a guy who was underused, maybe a guy that there was more there. If they got him into a situation where he could play a little more and have some more role, maybe he could break out. And, you know, they signed him at 28 years old, and sure enough, I mean, this hasn't totally – it's a long-winded way of saying this hasn't totally come out of left field. You know, before they signed him, he had kind of a small sample size breakout. And then remember, not this season, but the previous season, his first season in Washington, remember Darcy Kuemper got clipped in the head, I want to say in Calgary, by Tyler Toffoli when he played for the Flames. He was out for like a month. And Charlie was the starter. Do you remember how awesome he was in that December? I feel like he was like the player of the month and went 11-1-1. So it wasn't like this is unheard of. He has been trending in the right direction for, I would say, 2.5 years. This year is the year where his his improvement kind of met opportunity, and he really seized on this chance and has now shown the league that, you know, he's one of the 20, 25 guys who can be a starter in this league.
Tarik, you started the convo with Alex Ovechkin and some of the Cup hero veterans that are still around carrying this team. By my count, unofficially looking at his games log, 23 goals in 35 games down the stretch here. What could it do? There's nothing else to be said. His legacy's cemented. He's a Cup champion. He's changed hockey in D.C. forever. But, I mean, imagine a game tonight where he has a hat trick or scores a couple goals and they get in on his shot, you know, on his stick. I just always think about that with games like this and stars like him on the ice.
And he has the reputation for delivering on the biggest in the biggest moments on the brightest stage, right? It would not surprise me at all, given what we have seen from Ovi here over the past 2.5 months or so. And what a story, right? I mean, here's a guy who, let's be honest, I mean, you know, through November into December, I'm looking around going, is this guy going to get to 15 goals? Like has Father Time not only, you know, knocked on his door, but barged through the front door and said, hey, it's time to go, Alex.
Did you ever ask anyone with the team, Tarik, if they were worried about that at all?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think Brian McClellan, the general manager, will you know, he'll tell you, yeah, I was worried. Everyone was worried. Everyone was looking around trying to figure out, is this it? Is Ovi over? I mean, like what's going on here? I think Ovi's confidence in himself was a little shaken. There were things that went into that. You know, one of them, and I've talked about this a lot, he never really found a comfort level in the first half of the season with his sticks. And I know people go, oh, it's just an excuse. You know, if you know a hockey player, especially a goal scorer, a stick is a really big deal. And, you know, since his deal with CCM expired, he wasn't getting the sticks that he was used to playing with, and he was kind of a free agent, and he was trying different things, and then 3 games without a goal turns into 6 games without a goal, and, oh, I don't like that lie, I don't like that curve, I don't like that flex, let me try this, now it's 8-9 games without a goal, now you're thinking about it, and it just kind of spiraled. You know, I'm not saying it was all the sticks, but I think that played a big role. I know there are a number of guys around the league who also had some problems with sticks this year that got off to slow starts. And somewhere around the midpoint of the season, he found something that he liked. And he just was able to go, okay, I can work with this. I can work with this. And since then, again, it wasn't all this, but a couple pucks go in, and now he's looking at that stick going, okay, maybe I found my twig. Maybe I found my implement once again. And then a few more go in, and before you know it, he's starting to kind of feel confident again. And confidence it plays such a big role for goal scorers in this league. And it's always played a really big role for Ovi. And you know, I've covered him since his rookie year. And I'll tell you, I don't know anyone who associates his kind of his self-worth with whether he's putting up goals or not as much as Alex Ovechkin. It just changes his mood. It changes his vibe. It changes, you know, from being a guy who maybe is overthinking things out there to just his old swashbuckling, you know, just playing the way he wants to, confident, swagger, use whatever term you want to. But when that puck's going in, he looks like a different player. And this whole second half, I mean, it's been the second half of Ovi. He rediscovered his game. He's got Gretzky back in his crosshairs. You know, everyone's excited because, I mean, let's be honest. And, you know, John Buttigieg from ESPN was talking about this on the Altcast last night. This is going to be a huge, massive story when Ovi gets within 20, 25 goals of Gretzky. One of the biggest ones in recent memory in sports. I mean, you know, Buttigieg said it's going to be like Hank Aaron's chase of Babe Ruth. And I kind of agree. Maybe to a slightly smaller scale, but I mean, there's going to be live break-ins, you know, on ESPN when Ovi has a power play. I mean, it's going to be a really big deal, and it's just so great for the sport and for the Capitals that he's back on pace, and it looks like, okay, it's back on. We back up.
Tarik, give me an unsung hero here that deserves a little bit of roses and some shine for getting him to this spot.
I think they're are a few. Give me a second. Let me think about it. You know, I Nick Jensen's name comes to mind. You know, if you just want to focus on these last few games where they've clawed their way back in and have put themselves in this position, I'm going to go Nick Dowd. You know, he's a fourth line center. I know you guys can't see me or on the radio, but I'm using air quotes here. Fourth line center. He's really like a third line center, given the role that he plays and how many minutes he's out there. But he has scored some big goals. He's made some big hits. He's the one who challenged Essamon the other night after he laid out Jensen and then turned to the bench with that fiery look on his face and said, "Let's go." And, you know, that's a 34-year-old veteran who sniffs the playoffs and just wants to drag everyone on that bench into the fight with him. And, I'll go Nick Dowd in the short term. I think if this team gets into the playoffs, what Dowd has done here over these last 3-4 games is going to be remembered for a long time. And I know you asked for a player, but if this team gets into the playoffs, I also think Spencer Carberry deserves his flowers, maybe some Jack Adams Award votes as well. He's taken a team that doesn't look anything like the team that started the season. It's not playing the way he thought it was going to play. Systems-wise, it doesn't have the personnel that he thought he was going to have. And they got everything in front of them with 60 minutes to go. It's a pretty amazing story.
Jack Adams, of course, the award that goes to the Coach of the Year in the National Hockey League. He's Tarik El-Bashir, Grant and Danny with you on the Fan. So, Tarik, before we let you go, there is a bunch stacked against them again this evening in terms of lack of rest and just having been on the ice last night and the Flyers coming in with a couple days off. You're on the road, all those things. What kind of chance do you give them? How do you see this one tonight?
Yeah, I like the Caps' chances. Again, they've got a handful of guys that have been there and they've done it and they know what it looks like. They know what it smells like. They are going to be able to convey that to the young guys on the team who are going to be less tired, because when you're 23 years old, you just don't get tired. And they got a bunch of those guys who are playing big minutes and big roles right now. I'm curious to see if Beck Malenstein, who did make the trip, if he's going to be able to get into the lineup. That's a big piece right there. Lindgren, am I concerned a little bit about workload and playing back to back, assuming he's the guy? I can't imagine Carberry going with anyone else. That's maybe a little bit of a concern, but you also do a little bit of a deeper dive, Grant. You look at the analytics and you look at how this season has gone. The Capitals have been one of the best teams all season long on 0 days rest going on the road. I want to say they have 7 wins in those situations, which is one of the best marks in the league. So, again, they got some veterans who've done it, and they're mentally tough, and they're grizzled, and they've got some guts and guile, and I think that's going to carry the day tonight. I'm already kind of looking ahead to the first round on Sunday in New York, so I hope they get the job done.
Relax, sport.
Wow, Tarik.
Relax.
Just had a little shiver of, oh, my God, what did you just do? Go through my body right there. Tarik, thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Good catching up with Tarik El-Bashir, who I've been lucky enough to work with on some of these altcasts over at Monumental. And he's a network television guy now, Danny. He's on Turner. He's their sideline reporter for a lot of their national hockey.
Big famous television dude right there.
Broadcast. Yeah, he's not Taco Bell Tarik anymore. That's our guy. You know, he's slender, in-shape Tarik El-Bashir. Mm-hmm. But we appreciate him hopping aboard on Grant and Danny. A couple of our listeners have sent us a top 10 list of D.C. athletes that FanDuel put together. It's funny. FanDuel, I guess, is doing this for all the different cities. And it's the current top 10. It's something we really haven't dove into or thought much about, I don't think, recently. But they said, hey, we want to hear you guys react to that. So let's get into that next. Also want to get into Josh Harris being involved in the interviews with the quarterback prospects. He's hanging out in those interviews in Ashburn this week. We'll further talk about that on Grant and Danny right here on The Fan.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
Alongside Danny Ruye, I'm Grant Paulson. This is The Fan. Our double play comes your way in about 15 minutes. We're going blitzing in a half hour right here on GND. Somebody was asking me this question. I posted like my Instagram story. I was just doing a wacky walking around. I'm over at the Monumental Studios today. Danny's in our Half Street Studios getting ready for an altcast tonight. So I was just posting a video on my Instagram story, Danny. Of the studios and like behind the scenes little tour or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody had sent me a message and they go, where did the term green room come from? And I have no idea. And I thought, well, if anybody knows, Danny, who's a comedian who's been in green rooms all of his life, might know. Do you have any file?
This is so funny. Somebody literally asked me that not that long ago. And it was one of those things where I go, this is what I think, but I don't actually know. So, for whatever reason, it's been believed in performing arts. Again, this is what I thought. I can't confirm whether or not I'm right. But in performing arts, anything from improv shows, stage plays, TV shows, whatever, green or like kind of a deep forest green or any kind of green is always thought to be a calming color. So in an interest of keeping light subdued so it's not too bright coming off, it's always been a place where green is supposed to be calm. And it's somebody where you can kind of have a moment to yourself and be calm before you have to go out under the lights. I have no idea if that's right or not.
Wow.
But it's what I've always thought. And it's so funny. It's like, I'm not kidding you. Probably like sometime earlier this week, somebody asked me that. They're like, why is it? Or like, I guess it would have been last week. Why is it called a green room? And I was like, I think this is the answer, but I can't swear to it.
I've never thought about it. I just Googled it here. And again, I don't know if this is any more correct. It says one of the older stories is that London's Blackfriars Theater, 1599.
Mm-hmm.
Did you perform there once?
Yeah,
didn't you?
Yeah, it was like 1598 though.
Yeah.
No, like right before it became big.
Included a room behind the scenes where the actors waited to go on stage, which just so happened to be painted green and was called the green room. And maybe that's where the tradition began.
Hmm.
I don't know, no idea. But if you want to go check out the little virtual tour, you could do that at Grant H. Paulson on IG. We are on social. Danny's at Funny Danny. So DR. You got the same thing I did, I believe, today.
Uh-huh.
Where somebody sent to you the top 10 D.C. athletes via FanDuel. And by the way, FanDuel, now live in the District of Columbia. We're not doing the Gambit D.C. bit anymore. You can now use FanDuel all over the city, which is awesome. But it got us to thinking about their rankings, their top 10 D.C. athletes right now, and just trying to see what we agree with or what we don't without having to necessarily put together our own top tens. So I guess my first question to you is, are we going most important, lifetime achievement, greatest careers, or are we saying right now, this second, who are the best players in town?
That is the essential thing, right? Because if it's lifetime achievement, we all know. If it's right now, this second, it might be a little bit more challenging to do, quite frankly. It doesn't change the lifetime achievement. And you probably know exactly who we're talking about. The guy we just spent a whole bunch of time talking about that's going to hopefully chase down Wayne Gretzky and break one of the unbreakable records in sports. Because lifetime-wise, there's only one guy on this list that's getting a statue, right? And it's the Great Eight. It's Alexander Ovechkin. So, but right now, because of his name recognition and how big of a deal he is in his profile, he might be number one on a lot of lists in terms of Q rating. But I don't know that he's performing the best of any athlete in Washington, D.C. right now this minute. That's a tougher thing. So I don't know. That's whatever criteria you want to use, we can use.
Last couple months, he's been the best, probably.
He's been pretty good, yeah.
I mean, if you're comparing what in season, it's hockey, it's basketball, and a little bit of baseball there. But here's their top five. We can start with that and kind of work off of it. They went Ovi number one. Again, this is FanDuel's top 10 Washington, D.C. athletes right now. And I think because they used right now, that tells you this is a ranking of this moment. So we can use that. They put Terry McLaurin 2 and John Allen 3. Then they've got Kyle Kuzma 4 and Trinity Rodman of the Washington Spirit, the women's soccer team, 5th. I don't know enough about the Washington Spirit, and I'm not going to sit here and pretend to be an expert. I know that that's Dennis Rodman's daughter. Pretty sure about that. That's the extent of my knowledge on that. So I can't really speak to that. Maybe she's one of the best players in the women's soccer league. I can't help you there. But in terms of that top five, Ovi, McLaurin, Allen, Kuzma, Rodman, I think C.J. Abrams, who they have six, needs to be higher up the list. Was one of the best shortstops in baseball right now, this moment. I think McLaurin and Allen being the two Commanders represented is actually correct.
Feels
They're
right.
the two
yep.
best players on the team. Ovi needs to be on the list. Am I going too hard when I say Kuzma doesn't need to be in the top five? And frankly, I don't even think he's the best Wizard. I think Denny Avdija is the best player on the Wizards.
So I would include Kuzma in the top ten. He'd be my only Wizard.
You think he's better than Avdija?
Yeah, different player. You know, who would I rather have as part of a winning team? It would be Avdija. But I don't think if you switch their roles, I don't think Denny Avdija could score 22 a game, is my point. Like, where all the defensive attention is focused on him.
No, but
where
it's not like the most efficient scouting report. 22 either.
No, I mean, shooting 47% from the field, it's not bad at 6'10". But, yeah, I mean, to me, I'd probably say Kuzma belongs in the top 10. Avdija outside, just, you know, maybe after his last 41 games, got himself into the conversation, certainly. Rodman is the tricky one because she plays for the U.S. national team and is really good on the U.S. national team. I don't know how you quantify that, though, with this women's soccer league that doesn't have the same amount of eyeballs and attention. If all things are equal, she's at the top of her sport. So that makes sense to me. Again, I don't know how to quantify that exactly as to what we're sort of judging it on. Like, it would be like if C.J. Abrams is good for the Nationals, but also was starring for Team USA at, like, World Baseball Classic or World Cup type events, he might get more notoriety for that. Than
right. In other words, if you're ranking players based on where they are in their leagues, you know, if Ovi, I'm just making numbers up, but let's say he's the 26th best player in hockey. Now, he's maybe a top 10 goal scorer still, but we're going to call him the 26th best player in hockey, and McLaurin's ranks X at wide receiver and Allen X at D tackle. Like, if you're just doing it that way, the highest ranked at your position, then maybe like Trinity Rodman cracks the list. But again, I think Abrams needs to slide up. That would be one of my areas. They have Jordan Poole 9th. You could move him off the list.
He's off my list.
They have Oshie 10th. I love Oshie. He's certainly a fan favorite. He's one of my favorite guys to watch. I'm not sure that he's necessarily, you know, still at the top of his game. He's coming back from injuries. He's kind of always trying to get fully healthy. So I would think McLaurin, Allen, and Daron Payne are the only three Commanders you absolutely have to have on the list. Ovechkin is probably the one capital that must be on the list. I think the next most deserving capital is probably John Carlson. From a Wizard standpoint, you're going with Kuzma first. I think Avdija just had the best season of anybody on the team, but those are their two best players. And then the Nats, Abrams, Gore is knocking on the door of top 10 in D.C. maybe.
Not
who
there
had
yet.
Another
yeah.
Really good start. But I'm not going to get overly upset that no other Nationals are on the list.
Right, just kind of tells you, by the way.
Not a lot of talent.
Yeah, we're looking to the future for a lot of these teams. It tells you how stark it is in terms of talent level for some of these things. So a couple other suggestions I would have. I would throw Tom Wilson in there ahead of Jordan Poole, for example. I'd rather have him, complete player. I know the point totals aren't as gaudy, but he does everything. I'd probably add in Lane Thomas and bump somebody out, maybe T.J. Oshie at this point, not because Oshie isn't great and super valuable and an awesome dude, but you touched on it. The production night to night just isn't there the way Thomas has been. Should have been all-star last year over the last couple of seasons. But, yeah, it's hard to quibble with this, especially when we don't really have the best definition. You know, like if we get to do this next year, it's probably going to look like James Wood 2, you know, Dylan Cruz, hopefully 7. I mean, that kind of stuff, you know. But we're all sort of looking.
Yeah, can I put James Wood on this list while he still plays for the Rochester Red Wings?
Like, not yet, I don't think, right? I mean, we all know or hope what's going to happen, but I don't know if you could do it right now, could you?
No, because he's not a D.C. athlete, I guess, technically yet. He's a Rochester athlete, which is very, very different.
He's a
playing
Rochester.
Playing for the Red Wings. He's a Rochester. Is it Rochester or Rochester? People will notice, and now that I'm calling attention to it, it's going to rick everybody. Whenever I talk about the Red Wings, I go Rochester, and there's just no chance that's correct.
It rolls off
the tongue for me.
So I'm trying to think back. I met somebody, and it was very strange how she introduced herself years ago. But she said her name. She's like, I'm Becky from Rochester.
I'm sure, by the way.
And I'm like, why are you... I'm Danny from D.C. Like, that's so strange to me that you're introducing yourself like that.
I mean, I'm sure Becky introduced herself as I'm Becky from Rochester.
I think she thought it was funny because there were adult beverages involved and everybody may have been a little bit overserved. And I think everyone was talking about where they were from. And I think she kind of swooped in. Thought
she sure is a hoot by going with her name and location.
But I'm trying to remember how she said she's from there. And I'm trying to remember how she said it. I think it was more like the raw Chester, not Rochester.
Wait, you're doing something different now. What are you saying?
I'm saying she was a little bit of an accent. She's like, Becky from Rochester. Like Rochester, like kind of like that, like a little bit of like an accent with it. But I don't think anybody's doing Rochester like you do.
Yeah, Rochester?
Yeah, I don't think that's
it. I kind of speed up the Roch.
You're trying to get through it.
Yeah.
You
Rochester
know
Red Wings.
Up, far away, New York, out of sight.
Yeah. I'm not. Here's when I concern myself with Rochester, when James Wood's at the plate. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Or like when are they getting called up from Rochester? That's when I say it.
Yeah, that's about the extent of it for me. But, yes, he will be in the top 10. And I don't know if this is a good thing or a bad thing. But at 38 years old, the fact that Alex Ovechkin is not definitively needing to be moved down the list. Like, you and I are quantifying that this FanDuel top 10 Washington, D.C. athletes right now list, even if we're doing it based on who the best player is this moment, you can absolutely still have Ovi number one, and I don't think people could argue it. Now, you know, they might be able to advocate for something else, but like, no one's going to make fun of that or go, oh, that's a bad list. He's 38. He's almost 20 years in. We left him for dead a couple of months ago, and he might still, on a top 10 list in D.C., be looking down at some of the heroes for sports in this town where posters are on walls of McLaurin and Allen and Abrams and so many others.
It's pretty wild. It's pretty wild. And on two fronts. One, as you said, Ovi just taking a forehand chop to Father Time, said, not today. Watch this with this second half renaissance to get himself back into this kind of conversation. And two, just again, you look around, the Nats, if we did this in 2021, you still have Scherzer, you still have Soto, you still have Trey Turner, you still have a bunch of these guys at some point. That list would look very, very different. It's now, again, about the future. The big league club doesn't have much. It's Abrams. I'd argue Lane Thomas belongs on there, but these other guys were sort of hoping it kind of works, right? You look at the Wizards. You did this a couple years ago. You'd probably still have Bradley Beal. You'd have, you know, Wall not that long ago, or, you know, some other guys that were towards the peak, or at least stars in their own right, whether it was deserved or not. Just a different landscape, man.
Last attempt to bring you over to my side with Avdija. Win shares this season. Kyle Kuzma, 0.2 win value. Denny Avdija, 3.2. 3.2 wins for Denny Avdija, which, by the way, is way more than I would have thought.
That's a big number, actually.
I mean, the guy had a hell of a year. Like, nobody's done what he did this year statistically since Chris Webber. I did not think Denny would be this good this quickly. And it's not like it's happened overnight. I mean, he's in year four, just finished his fourth season. But after 2 years, I kind of thought I had a beat on where we were headed here. And he got hurt that year, didn't play a lot. But, man, has he been a lot better than the last couple seasons.
Well, 100%. You also, by the way, behind the scenes a couple times, I think, like got not annoyed, but you make fun of me for asking this question to various people that covered basketball in the Wizards, where I'm like, what is Denny Avdija? What is his game? Like, what
annoyed
is he
gonna
be?
Strong, but you literally asked the same question 50 times.
Yeah, because you weren't annoyed. You were like, it's easy to make fun. And this was my point. So on a good team, a team that was trying to be good, they were like, we don't trust you to have the ball a bunch. We don't trust you to do anything other than you could try to stand and shoot and maybe play some defense. Making him a 3-and-D guy, wrong. That's not what he is. He's this. Now, I don't know if he could do this, have all the responsibility, on an actual good team. You know, one that would win more than, say, 15 games in a season.
Yeah, you get to do a lot more when, right, like, nobody works at the place.
Yeah, when no one's looking, you take your reps, bro, and he blossomed. I'm giving him credit. I'm not ripping him. But this is his game. This is what they thought they were getting 4 years ago. And give credit to this regime, they gave him a contract extension, maybe seeing, hey, we've seen some growth here, he got stronger. But not just being I'll play some defense and try to, you know, scrap and get my baskets on occasion, but mostly try to stand and shoot. That's not who he is. That's not his game. He's kind of a point forward kind of a player, right, who can create a little bit, who could do some things. He's better with the ball in his hands than without, and he got to do that on a crappy team. I don't know what it looks like on a good team, though, and I'm fascinated to find out one day. Hopefully, please knock on wood, win 50 games once before I'm dead.
Double play next. Beltway Blitz, top of the hour. Grant and Danny on the Fan. He's Danny, I'm Grant. This is The Fan. We are taking you all the way up to 6:30 tonight ahead of pregame of Capitals hockey How about the double dip on 106.7 The Fan tonight, Danny? Caps on the ice. Got to have it. Win in their end game in Philly in their final game of the season to try to make the playoffs. And then late night Nats out in L.A. at Chavez Ravine. A win would give the Nats a chance to sweep the Dodgers tomorrow in L.A., which would be both stunning and awesome.
Be a hoot. I'd be into it.
Sign me up for that. It is time for our double play. What's going on in our lives? Nothing to do with sports. Driven to you by your local Washington area Honda dealers. Stop in for a great deal on the rugged and capable Honda Pilot. Contact your local Washington area Honda dealers today.
I finished it up, GP. I mentioned this show to you before. I will mention it once again. One more snap here for Fallout on Amazon Prime. The thing I'm fascinated by is if people who have no association and no affinity for any of the games, any of the Fallout games from Bethesda Games over the years that have been huge tentpole mega smash successes, Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, Fallout 4, even Fallout 76 did pretty darn well. Still an online game that people play. I wonder how people identify with it and like it or didn't like it or kind of consumed it. For a lot of us that know some of the stories and know some of the backdrop of this world that they've built, it was really, really cool to be able to go, oh, I know that. Oh, I see that. Oh, that's kind of all those different symbols. I wonder how people who went in cold not knowing it. It's been very well reviewed, so I get the sense that they like it the same, maybe not to the same degree as us nerd gamers, but it was really, 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 really well done. There's some cool twists to it. Some cool surprises, all sorts of fun things, but it's that saccharine smile, that sort of everything seems great here on the surface, and it's, you know, a murder death cult right behind me. You know what I mean? Where it's like, we're all one big happy family here as they're like chainsawing each other to death in one of the vaults. Just an excellent show. All the gaming material translated really, really well into a television show format over 8 episodes. This is interesting. There's been kind of a bit of a backlash. The last thing I want, and then I'll tag you in here, Jeeps. I know this is what you prefer, but for big shows, and this was one of their biggest ones, maybe not the biggest that Amazon Prime has done in some time, but I would say it's one of their bigger shows. They released it all right away, which I know is what you like. And a lot of people were saying, you can't do that anymore. Now that you got someone on the service, you do the one a week and try to bring them along, or maybe you do two to get them started. I mean, it's what Disney Plus has done with pretty much all their shows, where they want people subscribed to lock in for a week at a time, whether it's Loki or the Obi-Wan show or Mandalorian and otherwise. They released them all right away to try to get people on. Interesting strategy, but some folks have complained about that or criticized them for that. I think you need to let me consume it how I want to consume it. That's just my own personal way, but overall, 8.5 out of 10 carbohydrates. Excellent show. Great job landing the plane. I tag in.
I want my shows given to me in full and let me do what I want with them. That's kind of where I'm at. Mm-hmm. It's hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. I've been spoiled now. And I understand that there is some value, certainly for the companies and for the streaming services, the apps. You know, they should absolutely try to hold their ground as best they can on making me come back for more once a week and having that app and waiting, seeing if the new one's uploaded. Maybe I'll see something else on the home screen and watch it. There's a lot of reasons to do it that way. But when you have been able to squeeze the toothpaste out of the tube and you can binge shows, it's just hard to go back, man. We live in an on-demand world. Everything that we do now, companies are spending a lot of money to figure out how people can consume this on their own time, not at a set time, because people live their lives in a way where they want things on the go, from food to programs on television and everything else that we do. So that's just how I'm always going to prefer it. But I'll say this. It breaks ties for me on what I'm going to watch for sure. If something is really good, I'll stick with it. And the example I'll give you is recently I got hooked on the Dynasty on the New England Patriots Apple TV doc, which was fantastic. Now, it was a Robert Kraft production, and it was very pro-Brady and basically couldn't have been worse on Bill Belichick. But I really, really thought there was some unbelievable video, audio I hadn't seen, storytelling, content, behind-the-scenes stuff, and that was every Friday it dropped. So I caught up initially by watching the first 2, 3, 4, whatever it was, and then I had to wait for the last 6 week by week. I do think maybe I wouldn't have been as hooked or in on it if I couldn't have binged the first few. That's kind of how I get in. But then they had their claws in me, and I was able to kind of go back to the well every single week. That's where I'm at.
Yeah, no, I smell what you're cooking. What's your file on Walton Goggins?
John Walton David Goggins.
Just Walton Goggins.
I believe he's a Caps play-by-play announcer who writes books about how to be awesome and, like, make your bed in the morning.
I think that is the summary. He's an actor. He's not in things that I come across regularly. I know people will kind of roll their eyes and scoff at that. He was great on The Shield back in the day, but he's, you know, in a lot of TV shows like Justify that I never really watched, or a few other things. You would know him if you saw him. He was in The Righteous Gemstones, a TV show. I think he was in Predators, a movie you may or may not have seen. Hateful Eight, I think he was in. But he's one of these dudes that's like, oh, he's that guy. Like a guy that you definitely recognize. He is a 10 out of 10 on the show. He is great. He steals it. Like this is basically his, no, you guys have it all wrong. I'm actually a star. And I've been miscast as just a dude that gets to act and stuff. This is a superstar. He is a marvel in this show. Walton Goggins.
First team, first ballot Hall of Famer at, I know that guy.
Yeah, he's from the other movie we saw.
I could look up IMDb and name a bunch of stuff that he's been in. But off the top of my head, I can't.
You can't picture
anything.
Him. I'm telling you, you have definitely seen him, and you'd go, "Oh,
no, no, no!" Right. But that's I'm looking at him. Yeah. I know, and I'm looking at his chronicles as IMDb. I see everything he's been
he's
in.
He's the guy with the face.
I'm just saying, if you see him, you go, "Oh yeah, I've seen that guy." But good luck. You know, if he sat next to you on an airplane the whole time, you'd be going, "How do I know this guy?" But you would not know he's an actor. You wouldn't know he's in movies and TV shows. You're like, "Did this guy go to high school with my wife's brother?" Like. I know this guy.
Did he speak somewhere and I saw it? Like, what was it? You know, for me, first team all that guy is? Who's the original guy? The guy that plays Yost in Remember the Titans. That actor has been in 700,000 things.
Yeah.
And I have no idea what his name is. But I've seen him.
Will Patton?
Might be. You could have said any two words in a row and be like, maybe. But you've seen that guy everywhere.
Yeah. That's Will Patton's music. Looks like first Google response might be a mugshot here, which is not a great situation. So that was a tough day, presumably, for him.
Yep.
Beltway Blitz coming your way next, top of the hour. We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
Hey, everyone. Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us, and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.